Well, it's almost like they don't want COVID to end. You know, it's interesting how that works. Great to be with you. Happy Hump Day Wednesday on KCMO Talk Radio. I'm Pete Mundo. And it sure feels that way. I mean, when you blow up a vaccine and say no more to a vaccine that's been administered to 7 million people, and then less than 1 in a million people get blood clots, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's unnecessary, unless there's something more than meets the eye. Maybe that's it. By the way, thank you. A big round of applause to the Kansas City Police Department for having me out to their training academy yesterday. I can't wait to talk more about that at the bottom of the hour here on KCMO Talk Radio. I am so looking forward to sharing that story with you. And I hope that you'll hang around till then, because it was an absolutely fantastic afternoon getting to spend some time with many of the great people in this Kansas City Police Department. And boy, they are running a great operation there. So I'll share more with you coming up at 6:30 this morning. But, you know, I couldn't help but when I saw the news yesterday, I said to myself, this just doesn't make any sense. And we talked about it when it broke on the show. It was right around 9 o'clock yesterday that we found out that Johnson & Johnson's vaccine for COVID-19 was no longer going to be used. It was going to be paused. And it may never come back, because 6 people got blood clots out of the almost 7 million people who have gotten the vaccine. Well, that's something to me. It felt like an overreaction. And former President Trump put out a statement on this yesterday. And I want to read a part of it to you, because to me, he was absolutely right with this statement. Absolutely right. He wrote here, the Biden administration did a terrible disservice to people throughout the world by allowing the FDA and the CDC to call a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The results of this vaccine have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently challenged. The people who have already taken the vaccine will be up in arms, and perhaps all of this was done for politics, or perhaps it's the FDA's love for Pfizer. So then he goes on to kind of do his, you know, Trumpian type stuff. And, you know, without me, this wouldn't have been possible. You know, the usual Trump stuff. But it's those first two sentences that are important. Leave the Trump side out of it, if that's possible for those of you who still are suffering with the Trump derangement syndrome. Leave the man out of it. And just look at those first two sentences. He said the FDA and the CDC calling a pause on the vaccine was a disservice to people throughout the world. The results have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently challenged. And that's exactly right. How many people now who already were like, I don't know about this whole COVID-19 vaccine, and they're not really paying attention. They just see the headlines, Johnson & Johnson vaccine paused due to blood clots. And they're like, yep, this is why I'm not touching this thing with a 10-foot pole. Like, even if you hate Trump, admit that what he's saying there makes sense. This is not helping the majority of Americans go out there and get the vaccine. And over what? So there's either two options here. There's either two options. The first option is this was a massive overreaction to a 1 in a million chance, which is really what this is. That's not me using it as a cliche. Literally, less than 1 in a million chance you develop a blood clot if it's 6 people out of 6.8 million who have gotten the vaccine. Option two is that there's something else that we don't know about or we're not being told. But none of it makes any sense to me whatsoever. And I just wonder who exactly the anti-vax person is. John, I don't know. Maybe you can help with that.
Well, and you're suggesting 6 people. I think the subset's narrower than that, right? Specifically, it's in females of childbearing age, correct?
Yes, that is true. Basically. That is true, yeah.
So we can at least focus our alert even more.
Yeah, we can even get it down to a smaller group of people based on who you are.
Right.
That's a very good point as well. Nothing about it added up, and I just kept thinking about it yesterday. I said, why would this happen? Like, why does this make any sense? I mean, I saw women putting on social media that if you take birth control pills, you got a 1 in a 1,000 shot at blood clots. We're not looking at 1 in a million. from the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine and the whole thing gets shut down around the country and around the world? That just doesn't make any sense. And there's this weird push that is happening from Washington, D.C., that somehow it's, you know, only a Republican would not consider getting the vaccine. That's not my experience in the real world. I know people of all backgrounds, of different political affiliations, some who are like rah-rah getting it no matter what, some who are like, hey, you know, I have a few questions. Maybe I want to see a little bit more data. And by the way, I don't view that as anti-vaxxer. That's such an overused term that's being thrown out there, right? That's not what the people who are like, hey, I just want to see a little more data and, you know, I'd feel a little more comfortable with that. That's not anti-vaxxer, as people want to make it out to be, because they want to shame that group, that subset. And it crosses the political spectrum. Let's be very clear. It crosses the political spectrum. White, black, Latino, Democrat, Republican, male, female. It crosses the spectrum. Heck, I heard from people here at the Kansas City Health Department that Rex Archer's upset, the head of the health department, that not enough people in the urban core are wanting to get the vaccine. He thought he was going to save them from COVID. And they're like, hey, Rex, take a hike with that big old badge of yours. Okay, buddy, take a hike. But I just wonder right now, when you compare that statement from Trump and then, you know, you look at Dr. Fauci, who is still going on TV this week and being like, yeah, you know, no, I'm not doing indoor dining, even though I've been vaccinated for 4 months. Tell me again who's questioning the vaccine. Tell me again who's out there publicly saying, oh, you know, I don't know if this vaccine's right for people. Is it Fauci who says he still won't do indoor dining? Or is it Trump who's like, this is ridiculous that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which may have been given blood clots to 1 in 1 million people, is getting put on the table, or is getting removed from the table, I should say. What makes more sense to you? Because I still can't get over this one from Fauci this week.
Eating and drinking indoors in restaurants and bars, is that okay now?
No, it's still not okay for the simple reason that the level of infection, the dynamics of infection in the community are still really disturbingly high. And if you are vaccinated, please remember that you still have to be careful and not get involved in crowded situations, particularly indoors where people are not wearing masks.
Tell me again, who wants this to end sooner? Tell me again who's using the most and the best science in this. It's almost like there are people who never want this to end. It's almost like when you look at the pandemic, they just want it to go on for perpetuity. I mean, that's certainly how it feels when you hear comments like that, which are completely ridiculous. Because if the vaccine works and you're trying to encourage more people to get it, why would you not go on TV every single day and say, look at me, no mask, in a restaurant, in a movie theater, going to ball games, life's great, you can join me, you can be safe. This is like sociology, psychology 101 type stuff. And maybe I don't have the fancy degrees that Anthony Fauci has, and I don't have all the awards. But you know what I know I do have? And you know what I know that most of you have is a hell of a lot more common sense and an ability to understand where people are at right now, almost 13 months into this thing. 5767710. We're on the text line at 816-576-7710. We're off and running on a Wednesday here on KCMO Talk Radio. We will dive into more of this with you. Also, I got to get to a great story I can't wait to share with you at the bottom of the hour after I had a chance to visit the Kansas City Police Department training facility yesterday. That's all coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. Well, yesterday I had the opportunity to head up to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department Training Academy, which is, I got to be honest, I didn't even realize you get up that far. We talk about how Kansas City is 320 square miles. Mm-hmm. And it's like way up there off Pleasant Valley Road. Uh-huh, I mean, right. I'm like, wait, this is still Kansas City?
Yeah, right.
No wonder they can't clean the damn streets. It's so damn big, there's not enough people to clean these places. I'm like, how is this still Kansas City? It's unbelievable.
No, crazy.
It's nuts. It's just way up there. And I'm like, there's no way. I guess it still is. It obviously still is Kansas City. But, geez.
Here's the thing that annoys people in the Northland. Because those of us south of the river, somebody say, yeah, I live up north. And you say, up by the airport? It's like, yes, I live north, but nowhere near the airport, as you saw how big that can be.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Way on the east side, I guess you would say, up north.
Up there by the airport?
Oh, man. So we get up there, and it's beautiful up there. That new academy, it's like maybe 15 years old is what I would believe it was, but it still feels brand new when you walk in there. And the police chief was there, Rick Smith, and many other folks on his staff. Jeff, Brian, Jen, I appreciate all their help, and I apologize for not knowing their or remembering their last names. But one thing that was great, we got to do something that I didn't just walk around. They took me through a couple of things that really take you into the moment, take you into what actually a police officer has to deal with every single day. And the fact that there are 10,000 factors that they have to think about in the span of about 1 to 2 seconds. Like we sit here, whether it's in media, whether it's on social media, and we like to Monday morning quarterback everything that a law enforcement officer does. And that doesn't mean a law enforcement officer can't royally screw up and shouldn't lose his or her job for royally screwing up, right? Like, take the situation up in Brooklyn Center. While it looks like that was a massive mistake, it still is one of those mistakes where you should lose your job over it. I mean, I just don't know how you don't. But one thing I did yesterday that was just fascinating took me into a dark room, and they had three big projector screens. And I'm standing there with one of the other cops, and we had we had guns in our holsters there. They were real guns, but they shot like air bullets. You know what I mean? Like, you got a little kickback on them, but they were just air bullets. And on those three projector screens, they had real life trials and simulations of what could happen when you pull somebody over. It was not like a video game. It was real life. Now, it wasn't like body camera footage from actual happenings, but it was staged events with real people, and you don't know what's going to happen. So the first one we do, we're in the car, we're looking at the projector screen, and we go to pull somebody over. You know, he's kind of weaving around, he's making wrong turns, he's not stopping at stop signs and everything else. So we pull him over. And, you know, my job is to go up to the driver's side door and kind of talk to the guy and see, okay, what's going on? Well, I've got tunnel vision because I'm only looking at the guy who's in the driver's seat. Meantime, and I totally missed this in the simulation, there's a guy in the back seat with a gun. So I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Well, that's where, as a cop, you know, you obviously walk up to a car, and I'm thinking as a civilian, hey, he knows that I'm the only one in here. Well, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know what he's walking to. Obviously, I know that as the person getting pulled over, but that cop has no idea what he or she is walking into. And that's, once again, a great example of how to put yourself into their shoes, at least in a very small way. So then, of course, you know, you back up and the guy starts shooting at you from the back seat and everything else. So that was example one. We did about 5-6 examples like this. The last one was the toughest, right? This was the toughest simulation that we did. And what happens, the scenario was this. A guy gets fired from work, all right? And the boss calls up the cops because the guy's in the parking lot now and he's suicidal. He's got a gun to his head. So you got to show up there as the cop, and what do you do? Well, the guy's standing there in the car with a gun to his head. No reason to live anymore. What do I do? What's the point of any of this? And you got to try to talk him off the ledge, right? Well, he gets out of the car, and you're out of your car. You're out of your police car. You're yelling at him, and you're saying, hey, buddy, it's going to be okay. Drop the gun. We'll figure this out. We can get through this together. Just drop the gun, and it's going to be okay. Well, he gets out of his car, and he doesn't drop the gun. And he's holding that gun to his head. And he's walking away from you. And you're yelling at him with the gun pointed at his back. Stop. I need you to drop that gun. He's not listening. He's walking back towards the building that he just got fired from. What do you do? He opens the front door of the building that he just got fired from with a gun to his head. What do you do? Well, I didn't pull the trigger. He walks into that building, and he starts lighting it up. Those are the real life. Now, obviously, that's, you know, it's not an everyday occurrence. But those are the real life situations law enforcement find themselves in. And maybe I was thinking, because of my line of work, I could talk the guy out of it, and I could talk him into dropping that gun, but I couldn't. And if that was your husband, your wife, your child in that place of work, you can't let that guy go in there with that gun after he just got fired. You have to in that case. It doesn't look good. It probably puts you on YouTube. But in that case, what do? You have to shoot the guy in the back. And unlike Joe Biden's idea, you can't shoot him in the ankle, okay? That doesn't work. It doesn't. You can't just, let me just nick him in the ankle there and he'll stop. Like, that's not real life. That doesn't work. So these are the real life situations that I got to be put through with these guys. And, you know, in a situation like that, I did not end up pulling the trigger. I didn't do it. In hindsight, I should have done it. Because if not, you're putting those people's lives at risk in that building. You cannot let that guy go into that building with a loaded gun, even if it's pointed to his head. You can't do it. So for me, it was just important to go through those simulations and realize that all the nonsense that people talk about and all the silliness where it's like, well, you should have known this, you should have known that. You can't know any of that. That's not how the real world works. None of it works like that. None of it does. And then I had a chance, and this was a lot of fun. And they do a really good job with this. Tactical vehicle intervention. And that's where basically if they're trying to get a guy and he won't pull over, they've got a handful of these experts, I guess you would call them, on the staff, who can figure out how to bump into that car and spin it. Now, they've got bumpers. It kind of looks like bumper cars. But they can basically pull up to you and hit you at the right angle and get you to spin out. Because once that car hits a 22-degree angle, it's got no chance. It is going to spin out. It cannot be recovered at that point. So it's a way to not end up with police chases all over town. And by the way, this is like 3 or 4 years new for the Kansas City Police Department to have these types of vehicles. To do tactical vehicle intervention is what I believe it's called. So just getting to see that firsthand. And I was in the car, by the way, that got spun out. I'm still a little dizzy from it. I'm still smelling the burnt rubber as well. But we got through it, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to just kind of see what they deal with every day and get a small taste of experiencing it and also understand that what they do is so much more complex than any of us realize. Any of us realize. So I wanted to thank the Kansas City Police Department for that. What's up there, John?
What a great experience. You could sort of learn tactical intervention if you go out to the dirt track Lakeside Speedway. Rubbin is racing out there. So I've kind of seen how that's done. I don't know if I could do it, though. That'd be an interesting maneuver.
Yeah, I got on both sides of it, actually. I happened to find myself on the side that was not just the side that got spun out, but also the side that was, you know, bumping into the cars to spin it out. And that's, you got to hit that thing at the right angle.
Well, and you got to have the horsepower to accelerate as you do it, too. So you can't be wrapping out.
Exactly.
Max, you know, you're going to need a little more room to accelerate.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a good, you don't want every cop, and that's what the chief was saying yesterday. You don't want every cop to have that ability. So you've got like a, you know, I don't know if it was 40 or 50 or 60 guys or people who can do that, but it's a good tool to have. So you don't end up in police chases that are going on, you know, for, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, an hour, whatever it might be. But, I mean, I'll be talking about this more throughout the morning. I've got a ton more stories I haven't even gotten to. So we'll do more of that throughout the morning on KCMO Talk Radio. But I did want to thank the Kansas City Police Department. And, by the way, this is not because of what happened last week. I requested this. I requested this months ago. And they were kind enough to oblige. So that's how this went down. It wasn't like because of what happened with Jackson County last week, I reached out or they reached out. This was set up, you know, months ago at this point. But I wanted to thank them a lot. Coming up next, let's talk to Kansas Congressman Jake LaTurner. He was down at the border last week, and we'll get that firsthand look and experience from him coming up next on KCMO. Well, you just heard at the bottom of the hour news that the officer, Kim Potter, who was identified as the person who fatally shot 20-year-old Dante Wright, has resigned, and she will find out today what criminal charges she is going to face, and undoubtedly she will. And, you know, regardless of what you think took place or how things played out and whether or not this is being politicized or not, and obviously it is. I mean, it clearly is. There's no doubt about it. She made a fatal error. I mean, it's a fatal mistake. She obviously should not be on the job anymore. There's no doubt about it. One thing I learned yesterday when I was up at the Kansas City Police Training Academy, which was an outstanding visit. I got to use the taser. And one thing I learned yesterday is that the taser is always in your offhand. So I'm left-handed. So I'd have the taser on the right side here. And you would only fire the taser with your offhand, John.
Do you need to be as precise? You know, if you're using your offhand, I didn't know how a taser fires out. You wouldn't be as precise as maybe aiming a firearm, would you?
No, it's got a red dot there that comes out of it. Okay. And, you know, yeah, so it's pretty obvious. I mean, okay. Even a rookie like me kind of can hit the taser.
Hit the target.
Yeah, you can hit the target.
I got you.
So you always have it on your offside. With the idea being, hey, you're obviously, if you need your gun, God forbid, you want it to be on your strong side. So for me, that'd be on my left side. And then your taser, you'd have on your right side. And the reason that in the video, if you watch the video involving Dante Wright, she's yelling, taser, taser, taser. Now, she's doing that because when you fire the taser, it makes a pop sound like a gun, right? So it makes that noise. So obviously, if you're in a high-pressure, adrenaline-driven situation and you're somebody else on the floor and you hear that pop, all of a sudden you think somebody's shooting. So that's why you're screaming, taser, 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 to make sure everybody's aware. What's going on here is I'm using my taser. Now, obviously, she did not use her taser. She used her gun. That's a fatal mistake. Fatal mistake. None of that excuses the obvious point here, which is if Dante Wright doesn't resist arrest, I mean, he's not dead today. Now, that doesn't justify him dying and getting killed. That's not saying that. But it is pointing out the obvious in all this, too, right? I mean, it is pointing out the obvious thing that I know you can't say, but is overwhelmingly true. Overwhelmingly true. None of that justifies it. But once again, it's pointing out the obvious that unfortunately has to be stated because too many people don't want to do it. Or they're afraid to do it for whatever reason. But, you know, it was funny because I was down there yesterday. I should say up there. I didn't even know, you know, the training academy yesterday. I was like, this is still Kansas City? It's way up there off Pleasant Valley Road. I'm like, am I in Liberty yet? It's unbelievable. It's no wonder the city can't plow the roads. I mean, there's so many of them at 320 square miles. It's go figure. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm learning something yesterday. And the point of the visit had nothing to do with last week and the Jackson County GOP stuff. This had been on the schedule for several weeks for me to go out there and kind of see what they do at the training academy and check it out firsthand. And it was mind-blowing for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. We're at 576-7710. The text line is 816-576-7710. Bob, you're on KCMO Talk Radio. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Morning. I just wanted to point out, I work for a police agency, and when you purchase tasers for your department, you have the option of whether you want a cross draw, which means it's going to be on the opposite side of your gun, but you're still going to draw it with your strong hand, which if you look at the video of the Brooklyn Center incident, the other officer that's next to her, it looks like he definitely has a cross draw deployment system. So that's, I'm sure, the whole department has to go with that. The department I work for, we have it to where it's on your weak side and you have to draw it. It's not a cross draw. It's facing where you have to draw it with your offhand.
Yeah, and that's how KCPD does it, too. You had to use your offhand with the taser.
Yeah, so I think the cross draw is where we intentionally did not do the cross draw because we were worried about that weapon confusion, because that's a real thing in stressful situations. So, you know, just it's unfortunate. But
yeah.
I think that's probably the least desirable carry method.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, listen, I know the basics of this, Bob. You know far more than I do. But I would say I would prefer to, if I were in that situation, to have a department that I'm working for where I have to use my offhand, because you're right. In a high-pressure environment, you know, you naturally want to use your strong hand, and, you know, you grab the wrong thing, you're still using your strong hand, it may not trigger you to think, do I have the right piece of equipment, the right tool in my hand? If you're using your offhand, you know it. You know you're using your offhand.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a risky proposition when you can draw both with the same hand. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Well, thanks for sharing that, Bob. I appreciate it, man. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I went through that yesterday, and by the way, there were a ton of KCPD officers who were there for training yesterday because they got to go through training for the taser every single year to know how to use it, to do it right, and everything else. So I was watching that unfold yesterday, and the timing, obviously, based on what happened up there in Brooklyn Center, could not have been, I guess, more appropriate based on what the stories are this week and what happened up there. But I was watching this yesterday, and it was the Brooklyn Center, Minnesota mayor. And what the mayor said yesterday was the most ridiculous thing that you could come out of this incident and think, right? What happened was a tragedy. Now, Dante Wright was not a saint that people want to make him out to be. That doesn't mean that he deserves to necessarily be dead. No one's making that claim. But what this appears to be is an incredibly tragic accident. It doesn't mean that Kim Potter should be on the job. She should not be on the job today. You can't have her on the job. I'm not saying I'd put her back on the streets. I wouldn't put her back on the streets. I'd probably get rid of her. But to use this as a race-driven thing is, per usual for these groups, not based in any type of reality. It's not. It's not at all. And then you see the politicization of all this. And listen to Mike Elliott. Mike Elliott is the Brooklyn Center mayor. Listen to what he says about, you know, in his perfect world, how he might tweak policing in his community. And by the way, if I was a resident of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, my house would have been on the market yesterday after hearing this.
I don't believe that officers need to necessarily have weapons, every time they're making a traffic stop or engaged in situations that don't necessarily call for weapons. We know that there are many other jurisdictions or even around the world where that is not, you know, necessarily the case. It's not needed.
Is that not the dumbest and the most ignorant thing you have ever heard? Good luck getting a cop to come in there and want to work in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Yeah, you know, anytime you do a traffic stop, you really just you don't need the gun, all right? You don't need the gun, okay? Just, you know, leave the gun in the front seat. If you get shot at, just try to run. You know, running sometimes works. Try to zigzag while you run and dodge the bullets. Maybe you could ask the guy, hey, please don't shoot me. My gun's in the car. You know, maybe you can do something like that. That's going to work out great for you. Oh, boy, that's going to be awesome. Oh, man, that is what a thing of beauty that would be, huh? Yeah, the mayor's got this new rule here in town. I can't use a gun on a traffic stop. I can't even have it on me. So, by the way, I'm unarmed there. So you want to shoot me? Be my guest.
It's like Office Space with the boss, Bill Lundberg, yes. Right? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and have you just not point that weapon at me.
Yeah.
And if you could just kind of put it away, that'd be nice.
Yeah, but if you got to pull the trigger, I do have a bulletproof vest on. You know, the ab would be great. What? 5767710. I'll get to more of this coming up. I went through some simulations yesterday with KCPD that point out the stupidity of a comment like that. I will get to it, and we'll get to your calls at 5767710 coming up on a Wednesday here on KCMO Talk Radio. And one of the most ridiculous comments in 2021, which is really saying something, Mike Elliott for the win. Mike Elliott for the big old win when the mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which of course is the center of many ways of the news cycle right now because of what happened involving 20-year-old Dante Wright, who was had a warrant out for armed robbery, was pulled over, resisted arrest, and the officer, who has since resigned, Kim Potter, thought she was firing her taser, instead fired her gun and killed her. There is zero evidence that the motivation had anything to do with race, but that has not stopped the race hustlers from doing what they do best.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
So you got Mike Elliott, and the mayor, he comes out yesterday and he says the most ridiculous thing you could ever say.
I don't believe that officers need to necessarily have weapons, every time they're making a traffic stop.
Gosh. So yesterday I was with KCPD at their training facility, and I went through these simulators. Another cop and I went through these simulators where we were in a dark room. We had three projector screens in front of us, and we had real life situations play out where we would pull over a car and we'd have to figure out what was going on. We might have to draw our weapon, and what would that entail? And there were multiple times when, we pull somebody over and we just think, hey, they blew a stop sign or they blew a red light or whatever it might be. And, it seems pretty innocent enough, right? I mean, the guy rolled through a stop sign. Is he really going to start shooting at me? I don't know. Who knows? But this Monday morning quarterbacking that people love to do with law enforcement, has never been on more ignorant display than it is in that ridiculous comment by the mayor. I mean, think about that guy. He's an elected official in this country. I know we got dopes all over America, including right here in the Kansas City area, that actually do things like vote on, $1.7 billion budgets when they can't balance their own checkbook. I know we got them all over the place, but this is a new level of insanity. So when I hear this from a guy, and then it's the day after, I go through this simulator with some of the KCPD members, you forget that, let's say you get pulled over, hey, it's just me in the car, I have no weapons, it's me by myself. They have no idea what they're walking into. There was one scenario yesterday where, I'm walking up the left side of the car, and I'm looking right at the driver. I'm looking right at the driver because I've got tunnel vision. And they said that was a bad job by me. I had tunnel vision. I'm looking at the driver. I'm looking at his hands. I'm doing all those things. Meantime, there's a guy in the backseat who's got a gun, and he starts shooting at us. So that was a bad job by me. That's why, I just do this little radio show. But then I'm thinking to myself, we can't assume, and it's insane to assume, that a cop walks into a situation and he knows everything that's going on because, everything that's going on. It's so ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a guy where one time I didn't understand. I think this happened in Texas, and a woman was pulled over, and she was smoking a cigarette. And the officer was asking her to put it out, and she didn't, and got into a deal. I can't remember if she got drug out of the car. It's not following a lawful order, and I was kind of scoffing at the notion to put out a cigarette would be a lawful order. But it plays into what you're saying, as the guy said. You got a cigarette lit. Hey, can you put that thing out? Who knows what they got beside him, fireworks, stick of dynamite.
Yeah.
You never know.
You never know. And also, when you're smoking, your hands are moving around a lot. And what they want to know is that the hands are not moving for obvious reasons. 5767710. Don is in Blue Springs on a Wednesday. Hi, Don. Good morning.
Hi, Pete. Boy, I hate it when I agree with you.
All right. Donnie boy in Blue Springs. He hates it when he agrees with us. Oh, my goodness. Stop the presses.
I've talked about this before. We've touched on this subject at other times. This is one of my peeves, man. One of my peeves. And is when somebody gets pulled over. Not this, you were talking about the kid who got shot. There's another example of failing to obey the lawful command of a police officer.
Yeah.
And so a mistake was made. I fully believe that this woman made a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay? But would he be allowed today if he had to jump back in the TV car to try to get away? Well, of course he would.
Of course he would.
Would Floyd be alive today if he'd gotten in the back of the police car to be taken peacefully to the station for processing? Of course he would be. This drives me nuts. Okay? This is one of my beefs.
Don, you must have not had your morning vodka yet. You sound really coherent.
Shut up.
Who are you and what have you done with Don in Blue Springs? Who are you?
I've agreed with you before on this. We've talked about this before on another occasion.
Yeah.
About this stuff. Now, did Floyd deserve to get killed the way he got killed because of what? Hell no. Should be prosecuted. They killed it. They murdered that man.
Well, murder, okay? Maybe not. But
anyway. Exactly. But the issue here is, it's still be. They don't want to talk about that. When I say they, we know I'm. They don't want to talk about the non-compliance. Here's another one.
Now you know what? But here's what's so fascinating, Don. You know, this is also. These are also the people that you admittedly voted for. You voted for this.
I did not vote.
Don, you've been on TDS for 2, 3, 4 years now. This is what you voted for, buddy. This is you can't have it both ways.
I'll say one more. There's another example.
Yeah.
As the lieutenant who got pulled over.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I represent a lot of people who get pulled over for traffic. I do a lot of traffic stuff in my practice, okay?
Yeah.
I will tell you, if you drive a mile and a half after the police have engaged you and want you to pull over, they're going to be mad.
Yeah.
they'll even write you up a ticket with fleeing, you know, to avoid arrest or something like that. They will be very, very mad.
Yeah.
And I didn't know either that I'm.
Hey, Don, I appreciate you're in a good mood. I got to scoot here, my man, all right?
All right. Okay.
All right. Hey, bye. But anytime you want to agree, please call back, okay? It sounds good. It sounds good. I have a feeling it's not going to happen often, but we'll take it. Don in Blue Springs sounding very lucid this morning. Geez, I'm telling you.
The weather's nice. Don agrees. I don't know what's happening out here.
I don't know either. All right, I got a minute for you, Jeremy. What's up, my man?
Hey, first off, you need to go buy a Powerball ticket because hell's froze over with Don agreeing with you. No, just wanted to call a touch base on this mayor, you know, the deal with him saying the police shouldn't have weapons with them on traffic stops. I think he's getting ready to send out a memo to tell all the criminals to just shoot the cops in the leg.
Bingo. Sounds like old Joe Biden, right? Jeremy, good stuff, my man.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Yeah, shoot him in the ankle. That's what he said. Shoot him in the ankle. News in 2 minutes. We're back at 5 on KCMO. All right, well, here's your first chance at a $100 MasterCard gift card. Entered to win our $25,000 Workday Payday in our national contest. Keyword is good. That is good to 95819. That's good to 95819. We've got keywords every hour on the hour, 8 to 5 here on KCMO Talk Radio. You know what's not good, by the way, is this latest Kansas City Star editorial. Oh, boy. It's just, and here's the thing. I don't know if it's their worst editorial of the month, of the week. I don't even know. It might only be their worst one until lunch today. You know, it really just depends. But it's really bad.
So I'm thinking of the phrase, hold my beer.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's a good way to use it.
Top it?
The
old phrase, hold my beer.
It's the worst one.
Insinuate you can top it.
Yeah, it's the worst one, I would say, of the 8 a.m. hour on Wednesday, John, you know, until the next one comes out at like 10:30. But anyway, here's the article from the Kansas City Star editorial board. It's about Kansas lawmakers and the fact that, you know, they have a bill out there that says, hey, in the state of Kansas, we are not going to have transgender girls compete against boys. Transgender girls compete against girls. We are not going to have that here in Kansas. And let me share with you how this editorial goes from the Kansas City Star. I mean, it's just like if this was in the New York Times, I'd be like, yeah, this is kind of crazy. It's in the Kansas City Star. Do you know your audience, all right, at all? Anyway, here's what the Star writes. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly was exasperated, and rightly so. When you've got 125 grown-ups talking about girls' sports participation, she said, and they're not dealing with the issues that are real important to Kansans, you've got a problem, end quote. Yeah, I know. Kansans just love the idea of a guy who wakes up one day and feels a little funny deciding he's going to compete in girls' sports. The Kansans just love that. You know, they are really excited by that. I know the Star editorial board is excited by it, but, you know, most people in Kansas really aren't. They're not. Anyway, they go on the right. Kelly was referring to last week's legislative rush to pass a bill banning transgender students from participating in school-sponsored sports. The measure will prompt lawsuits unless the governor vetoes it, as we hope and expect that she will. That bill, if it becomes law, might also lose Kansas money in other ways. On Monday, the NCAA announced that states with laws that discriminate against trans athletes might lose the opportunity to host championship tournaments. The NCAA said in a statement, when determining where championships are held, NCAA policy directs that only locations where hosts can commit to providing an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination should be selected. We'll continue to closely monitor these situations to determine whether NCAA championships can be conducted in ways that are welcoming and respectful of all participants. It's funny, unless you are a woman and you don't want to compete against a biological man, if you want to do that, well, guess what? You're not respectful, apparently, of the trans community. That's how this gets spun. You see what kind of BS this is? You following me here? It's total nonsense. But it's funny how when you use certain phrases and you frame words up in a certain way, you can make it sound like it's the exact opposite of what actually is going on here. What's actually going on here is that you, if you are a female and you don't want to compete against a biological male, well, guess what? You are anti-trans or something like that. You are discriminating. Whereas to me, it's pretty obvious it's the other way around here. If you want biological men to compete against women because of how they feel, that is discrimination against women. That's what that is. All right? But you can spin these words to make it mean what you want it to mean, even though it's just not accurate. It's not true. I love that statement, that line. The NCAA policy directs that only locations where hosts can commit to providing an environment that is safe. Oh, you mean like men competing against women on let's say, a soccer field or a basketball court? Nothing spells safety like stronger and faster men competing in potentially contact sports against women. That sounds really safe, NCAA. Way to go, guys. Way to go.
Bad hombres.
All right. The Star editorial goes on to continue here. And they write, but our concerns are not limited to that one wedge issue, and neither are Kelly's. Oh, she's such a thoughtful person. The legislature, the governor told the Star editorial board on Friday, has been engaged in a regrettable session-long effort to focus on cultural issues as a distraction from the state's most pressing problems. Well, remember, this is now becoming a talking point from the Star and some of their ilk, that Republicans are focusing on issues like transgenders in sports because they just want to have a cultural battle. No, that's not how this started. This started on Joe Biden's second day in office, when he signed an executive order that said if you don't allow transgender girls to compete against girls, you could lose federal funding to your public school. That's how this started. That this did not just like pop up out of thin air, all right? Because Republicans wanted it to. It didn't. That's not the story here. That's not how this started. Anyway, the Star goes on the right. The mistaken focus of GOP lawmakers should anger everyone who cares about the future of the state. With only a May veto session left, many poor workers in Kansas still lack insurance. The schools aren't budgeted. Medical cannabis is still prohibited. And by God, five transgender kids will be banned from playing for the girls' teams. This is the same argument as well that people make to me on Twitter at Pete Mundo. They don't argue the science behind why it's good to have boys compete against girls. They just say, well, it's like five of them, you know? It's like there's like a couple of them out there. They defend it by saying it's a small number of people. That's how they do this. That's what their argument is based around. It's not based around the science of why we should have boys competing against girls. It's like, well, it's only a couple of people. I mean, what's the big deal? That's how they do this. They go on to point out here, lawmakers also worked tirelessly this session to limit the governor's ability to mitigate the dangers of the coronavirus. They put lives at risk to make a political point. The result? Legal cases and acrimony across the state. The governor's ability to mitigate the danger of the coronavirus. You mean what? Like the statewide mask stuff? Because I'm pretty sure right now when you look around the country, Michigan's spiking like crazy. Their governor did all the lockdowns and all the masks and all those kind of things. How's that going up there compared to, let's say, Texas, where they haven't had a mask mandate for a month and they continue to decrease their case count? Or Iowa, same thing. They were going to kill people up in Iowa. Look at the numbers up in Iowa. The governor's ability to mitigate the danger. What a lie. What a flat-out lie.
Where's the ability to mitigate the fraud with unemployment benefits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point here, John. Mm. The only thing I've agreed with so far is that they should get this medical cannabis done in Kansas. They should get that done. I agree with that. That's the only thing so far I've read in this editorial that I agree with. What else do we have here? Students may have to pass a civics test to graduate. Lawmakers have tinkered with the state's voting laws, an unnecessary answer to a non-existent problem. The state Senate has wrestled with needless tax cuts. What Kansas doesn't have is expanded Medicaid for the 165,000 people who need it. Its reckless $20 billion budget doesn't include any school spending, while legislators skate dangerously close to reopening the school finance case. Patients suffering from chronic diseases and pain won't get relief from medical marijuana. Maybe later, we're told. All right, fine. That's one thing I agree with. But they actually are giving, and they have in certain bills, given Governor Kelly all the school money that she's looking for. All of it. All of it. But it's the age-old usage of, don't you want to fund the kids? If you even think about not giving the teachers' unions every single dime that they want, well, you're anti-kid learning or something like that.
Sam Brownback.
Yep. There you go, John. There you go. I mean, it's so predictable. So predictable. And you see it happen every single time. If you don't just blindly give the teachers' unions every single dime that they want, you're anti-kid. No, I'm not. I'm just like anti-blowing a budget on nonsense sometimes and trying to be responsible with the public dollar. You know, when I see the Blue Valley superintendent over a 5-year period go from making $265,000 to $350,000, like, you know, I think that we might be able to save a couple of bucks here. When's the last time that your position went up $100,000 over a few year period when your responsibilities barely changed? I don't know. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it is amazing to read this editorial. And the Star ends it here by saying, unless they hear from the people that they represent about the results of their neglect, they won't come back to Topeka on May 3rd any more ready to govern than before this 3-week break. Huh. Yeah. Nothing like having the pulse of Kansans, right? Did you follow the 2020 elections at all? Do you care about that? No, you don't. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. I mean, it is just a garbage editorial, but my hunch is that it's only the worst one until about lunchtime, all right? Then we'll get another one that's just as bad, if not worse. It's kind of amazing how that works. Oh, man. We'll get to you. We've got David Stokes, bottom of this hour. He's with the Show Me Institute. We'll talk about the property tax issue that's going to be right around the corner in Missouri. All that and more is coming up on KCMO Talk Radio. Well, we are approaching the 9 o'clock hour. Show is flying by here on KCMO Talk Radio. Great to be with you for another morning. Chris DeGaulle's coming up at 10. And don't forget, when you get to the office, pull us up on your smartphone, your smart speaker. We're on the Google Home, the Alexa, if you're still working from home, I don't know. Maybe you've gotten used to the work from home thing, but it would be driving me nuts. And we are so grateful to be here in the studio. We got John. We got Mark. He's on day 3. And Mark, I don't want to jinx you, but I think you're flawless so far today. You're flawless.
I had the opening bumper I missed out on.
Oh,
so
you're right.
I'm still maybe like a 93%,
I would say. Yeah. What do you think of that, John? 93% today?
It's impossible to do 1,000%.
That's true. That's true.
Starting 0-for-1 and then getting back into the game, though, was pretty solid, I felt.
That's a good point. You start off with looking at strike 3, but now you're rocking and rolling. You're off to a good start here. All right, let's get to What If Wednesday on KCMO.
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
It's time for What If Wednesday
on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
Well, we've tried that. Hasn't worked out too well. So we have three questions here. What if Wednesday, every Wednesday at 8:45. What do we got, John?
Numero uno, what if Dante Wright didn't try to flee the police?
Well, I know you can't say it. I know it's not popular to say because it doesn't fit a narrative. And none of this defends what the law enforcement officer, Kimberly Potter, did in taking out her gun instead of her taser. She thought she had her taser in her hand. She was yelling taser. She had her gun and she shot him and he died. But the reality is, if Dante Wright doesn't try to flee police, he is alive today. That doesn't justify his shooting or killing. It was a massive mistake. Kimberly Potter should not be on the Brooklyn Center Minneapolis Police Department. She did resign yesterday. And if she did not resign, she should have been fired. And charges are likely going to come against her. But the reality is, this entire situation is avoided and does not happen if Dante Wright is not trying to flee law enforcement. That's it. I mean, these things are oftentimes massive gray areas. There's nothing about that that's a gray area. That's just a reality. And it doesn't mean anyone's happy about it. It doesn't mean the guy deserves to be dead. He doesn't. But you can say that with almost absolute certainty, far more than you can say that this had anything to do and was driven by race, right? Far more than that. So there's your first What If Wednesday. John, what else do we have on the list?
All right. What if Chris Croft gets into the Kansas 3rd District race?
So Chris Croft is a state rep here in Johnson County. And there was a big piece in Politico yesterday. Actually, excuse me, this was a few days ago. And the headline was Republicans draft veteran candidates to reclaim House majority. And Chris Croft is a veteran here in Johnson County. He is a retired colonel, served 30 years in the Army. And he is thinking about getting into the Kansas 3rd District race, according to Politico. And I'd heard some of these rumblings as well. Right now, Amanda Atkins is in this race. She is clearly trying to clear the field. That's why she came out last week with a Mike Pompeo endorsement on the same day that she announced she's running for 3rd District. And understandably, I mean, that was a pretty heated primary in 2020. They had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to win the primary. And in a perfect world, to beat Sherrese Davids, sure, you coalesce around a candidate. They save their money for the general, and you try to win the general. But I'm not someone who generally believes in the idea of clearing primary fields. I think it's good even for the candidate who wins. It sharpens the knives a little bit. It gets you ready for a general. I understand the whole idea of, well, you know, money, we can't spend any money. We want to save the money for the general. I get all that from a strategic standpoint. But I'm never a proponent of anointing anybody in any primary at any level. I generally don't believe in that. So I don't know if Croft gets in. I have no idea. I don't know what kind of candidate he'll be. I've not closely followed his voting record at all. Is Amanda Atkins still an overwhelming favorite? Sure, absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, she's got name ID. She did it already. She won a tough primary. She's done interviews with us where I believe she actually sounds better in these interviews the last few months than she did when she was a candidate the first time around. More comfortable, smoother, a little more attacking style. I think that's necessary in a general. I do. So she's still going to be a big favorite. But I think you get, you know, somebody else in there, not the worst thing. I don't know if it happens. I have no idea, but I thought it was interesting. I had people sending me this Politico piece that State Rep Chris Croft is looking at getting into the race, but he's going to have a tough time fundraising against Amanda Atkins. We know that she is a very impressive fundraiser. She did a very good job of that in 2020, and she will undoubtedly do a great job again with that here this time around. And she already got Mike Pompeo backing her. So, I mean, that's a big statement, obviously, for Kansas Republicans. So it'll be an uphill battle for anybody else in this race. Anybody else, it's an uphill battle for them. No doubt about it. But we'll see how it plays out, John. We'll see how it plays out.
All right, finally, what if The Rock runs for president?
Oh, gosh, I got to keep seeing this. I got to keep seeing stories about The Rock teasing a presidential run. Oh, my goodness. Oh, he said on the Today Show, and I'm not playing the clip because I'm not wasting any time on clips from the Today Show, all right? I'm not doing that. unless it's Matt Lauer pressing his red button to lock the door. Click! Then maybe. But anyway, Dwayne The Rock Johnson said on the Today Show that he would run for president if the American people truly wanted him to run. What the hell does that mean? Where do you got to go? Pull door to door? Hey, you want me to run? Hey, I'm The Rock. You want me to run for president? Can somebody tell me how that works?
Isn't that what Trump did? Essentially?
Oh, man. Well, at least he just said, I'm running because I'm the guy. And then if people want me, they'll select me. Right? Like, Trump was like, I'm going to come down this golden escalator, and I'm going to run for president. And people mocked him. They're like, no one's going to vote for you. And he's like, no, they will. So he just did it because I think probably his ego finally wanted him to, and it worked out for him. But The Rock is like, I'm going to run if people want me to run. The American people want me to run. What does that mean? You know, you do a poll on TMZ. Hey, do you want The Rock to run for president? Yeah, that sounds great. I know The Rock. He was a great wrestler. That guy, that people's elbow that he did back in the 90s was awesome. I mean, is that kind of the simplistic nature of what we do now in politics? It sure seems like it. But no, we don't need The Rock running for president, okay? I mean, please, can we not? I'm just pretty pleased. Can we not do that? I hope The Rock doesn't run for president. Oh, boy. There's your What If Wednesday on KCMO Talk Radio. We got news coming up in 3 minutes. We are back in five on a baseball player that, yes, we can all agree is a fool. That's next. Well, it's just after 9 o'clock on KCMO Talk Radio. That means it's time for another Text to Win keyword. Our national keyword this hour is grab to 95819. That's grab to 95819 for your chance at a $100 MasterCard gift card. And you get entered to win our $25,000 Workday Payday. Yes, how about that? Grab to 95819. So, yeah, every hour on the hour, 8 to 5, for the next month, the last day of this thing is May the 12th, which is our due date for baby number 2, actually. So hopefully I'll be here for you for that last day. If not, somebody will. They'll give you the keywords on May 12th, all right? Great to be with you, by the way. I want to ask you a question, and I mean this in all seriousness, like, and I will take some calls on this at 576-7710. If somebody died that you did not know personally and you had no connection to, would you not show up to work? How distraught is there anybody that you don't know personally that if they died, you would feel like I'm in mourning? I can't function. I can't go to work. And if so, who is that person? Does that person exist for you in any way, Mark, whether it's a musician or actor or somebody?
Oh, man. I just like. When you were saying that, this I don't even want to say this person's name off the top of my head, but he's a young player for the Kansas City Chiefs. He throws the football. Oh, man, that would just – seriously, I've never met him. I'd like to meet him at some point.
His name rhymes with Schmatrick Pahomes.
Yeah, I didn't even want to put that out in the universe, but that would just like – oh, okay. My goodness.
But I no doubt about it, but – You'd show up to work, right?
Probably, because I'd want to talk about it. I'd want to get it out there with you.
Well, let's say you weren't on the radio. Would you show up to work, or would you call into your boss and say, hey, I need the day?
If I wasn't in radio, I might call.
Okay. Well, to me, that's a little bit different because it's a celebrity that you have a connection to, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a celebrity that you have been following, that you have a passion around, that you feel like you know, even though you don't know the individual, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll let that slide. To me, that's okay. I'm sure that there are other people in town who are probably like, yeah, Mark, I agree with you, man. I'd be in mourning for a week. I wouldn't go to work. But the reason I bring this up is because this week, a New York Yankees player, Aaron Hicks, he sat out of a game this week after the news that Dante Wright had been killed by police in a Minneapolis suburb on Sunday. Aaron Hicks of the New York Yankees said, quote, he just felt like it wasn't right to play that game. He said it was tough to read that somebody just got murdered. He was a father, meaning Dante Wright, to his son. He's also a son to his mother. It's extremely tough when situations like that happen. I'm sorry, grow up and play the game. Okay, grow up, you're getting played millions of dollars to play a kid's game, you're a professional, play the game. This is not somebody who is a family member. This is not somebody you even knew. This is not Mark knowing Patrick Mahomes and having a connection to Patrick Mahomes. This is somebody that you had never heard of up until 24 hours ago. Go to work. Yes, Mark.
Now, I understand it's close to Minneapolis, but didn't the Twins, like, cancel their whole game? And didn't the Timberwolves cancel their game?
Or yes.
Am I making that up?
No, they did cancel their games on Monday. Now, they canceled it, they said, because of a curfew, and they didn't want to be caught in mobs, basically.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, they said it was around respecting, the moment or something like that. But it also said they wanted to make sure that they were done by curfew and reading between the lines. They didn't want their players pulling out of the stadiums with their, Mercedes Benzes and getting mugged by mobs. They didn't want that.
Or fans walking out of the stadium, I guess, too.
True, exactly. So that's what that was all about. But, I mean, for Aaron Hicks to say, I just need the day. I just got to take a breather, John. It's ridiculous.
I wonder how these people choose, because I guess if I were going to be equitable.
Yeah.
With all, then I'm going to need off most of the week for everyone that was shot over the weekend and people that died the last 10 days in this city if we're going to do that equitably.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know where the concern is for one person over another.
I know. So let's get to you at 5767710. Is there really anybody where you'd say to yourself, geez, I can't go to work because somebody I didn't know and had never heard of died? To fit a narrative that I'm now making up. To John's point, we've had 43 homicides in Kansas City so far this year. We had 43 at this point last year. Of course, we went on to set a record with 177. So we're in a bad place here in town. Also this year, by the way, just this year, we have had 15 law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty by guns. 15 of them killed by guns. 4 more killed by assaults. What else do we have here? 6 were struck by vehicles, 7 in a vehicular assault. That's 30 some odd cops in this country who have been killed in the line of duty from things of that nature. Does Aaron Hicks want the day off for that? Does he care about that? Does he know any of those people? He's probably got a closer connection considering he interacts with NYPD every single day as a famous professional baseball player. He's probably got more of a connection to those people than he does Dante Wright. But no, he can't go to work. Can't go to work. I mean, this is so hypocritical. So hypocritical and so ridiculous. Like, it's just ridiculous. Where you got a situation here. Guy's like, yeah, I'm not going to go to work. I'm going to skip out. I'm not going to go to work. And we're just, going to take the day off. And that's going to be that. Because somebody I'd never met in my life, somebody I had never heard of in my life, died. It's all politics. That's all it is. I mean, to John's point, where is he mourning the hundreds of people in urban cores across this country that get shot and killed every weekend in this country? Many in New York. By the way, gun violence in New York, where Aaron Hicks plays, is up 77% over last year. Is he taking any time off for that? Is he doing anything for that? I don't think he is. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard about him needing a day. I mean, maybe he does, but I haven't heard much about it. 5767710. We're on the text line at 816-576-7710. Let's welcome you in and start off with Ron, who's in Midtown. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, Pete?
How are you?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm guessing that he has some PTO day structured in his contract to allow him to take off when he wants to.
Must be nice, right?
Because, I mean, for one thing, for sure, he's certainly going to miss out on the money. So if it was worth that much to him, then so be it.
Why is he going to miss out on the money? When guys take days off because they're hurt, they still get paid. Aaron Hicks definitely got paid for that game.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a yearly salary. They don't get paid by the game. They get paid by the season.
Well, I know what. If he took too many days off, if he took one off for every instance like that he feels, I can't go to work because of that, he'd probably be out of a job. So,
well, you know what? Here's the problem, though. This is perfect example of elite privilege from professional athletes. You and I couldn't pull this off. They'd say, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I need you at work,
Yeah, or you risk the situation of losing your job.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was going to say, I heard you talking about the Georgia stuff. You know,
let's keep hey, Ron, I got to keep it one topic at a time, buddy. All right.
Well, I mean, it was a reference to baseball.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead.
You know, I'll just say that, you know, if everybody hates those companies so much, just stop spending money with them and yeah. you'll get what you want.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that there, Ron. Thanks for the call. Good deal. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. It's amazing when, you know, celebrities and athletes try to act like they're taking a stand, being one of the people, like Aaron Hicks of the New York Yankees. I can't play a baseball game because someone I never heard of died. Yeah, no, that's just you showing privilege. That's what that is. Grow up, go to work. The rest of us have to do it, okay? Seriously, I mean, that's ridiculous. And the Yankees are like, we respect his decision. Oh, my. Okay. All right, New York Yankees. I needed another reason to hate you. All right, as a Mets fan and can't stand the Yankees, there you go. One thing we can all agree on. Royals, Mets fans, we're all on the same page there. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. I want to welcome you in on this. And there's any way, any situation where somebody that you had never met, never heard of, could die, and you'd be like, yeah, I got to take off from work. It doesn't make any sense unless you are trying to be a political actor. We'll get to you. We've got our caller of the day, bottom of the hour here on KCMO.